single week, there are hundreds of people that make a huge difference. Matter of fact, you probably don't even see most of them. Now, some of them you do. Some of them you see them as you drive in, okay, who are waving at you, who are shaking your hand, making you feel good, people that set out the tent outside, people who stand at the doors, passed out bulletins. But there are a ton of others that you probably never see, maybe back in the kids' area, changing diapers, helping with children. We have those that in Guthrie that are there early, that are setting up church, and then after church, that are staying after and tearing things back down. We have people that put in lots of hours. Okay. We have even some that, you know what, they are prayer intercessors. Matter of fact, they pray during service, and they just believe God to do a work in people. And you know, that happens every single week. And I want to say thank you if you are one of those. Come on, let's give it up right now for all of those every week who make that huge commitment and difference. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, Pastor Clint, we celebrate what is happening. And one of the things that we talked about in regards to vision back in the fall, and I shared with you some of the things that I felt like God's speaking to our church. One of those is a new location for North Church coming this fall or in January of 2018. And we're looking at January 2018 launching a new location. We're not ready just yet, come on, to tell you exactly, but the pieces of the puzzle are coming together, and we hope in the coming weeks, all right, we don't know exactly, okay, don't hold me to an exact date, but that we're going to be given an announcement of a new location for North Church. Come on, I'm excited about that, and I want you to be praying with us that the final pieces of the puzzle come together and we can make that announcement. Now, this is week number two of the series. You asked for it, and you did ask for it. On Easter, I gave you a chance to be able to write down some of the things that you want to hear talked about. Whether that was just something you've always thought about, maybe a biblical answer to a question that you didn't really understand. And we have taken those, compiled them. Some of them, I'm going to be dealing with them periodically throughout the year, mixing them into sermon series. But today, we're going to deal with the second topic that you gave, okay? The second top vote getter, okay? Last week was the end times, right? And I told you the end times is a several week series, but we boiled it down to one day, and I thought it was going to be the most important thing that you need to understand. Well, today, the number two on the list is the Holy Spirit, okay? And so we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of questions that came with that, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. How do we know the Spirit is speaking to us? So many questions. But I'm going to be dealing with more in this Holy Spirit throughout the year. But today, I'm just going to take and deal with the main things that you need to understand when it comes to the Holy Spirit and who He is. So would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 1? And why don't you stand with me as I read God's Word. The book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking Him. Do you hear this? They kept asking Him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Stop there for just a moment. Look here. Okay. We talked about it last week. They were so interested in the end times. When all is this going to come to pass? You know, tell us, Lord, tell us, Lord. And then Jesus says basically this. This was the crux of the message last week. The end times are going to happen. Things are going to unfold, as the scripture says, but it's not our role to try to figure it out, predict it, put a date on it. Jesus said this, be ready at all times. Look at the person next to you and say, be ready at all times. So that's what we should be doing, being ready at all times. Now, they are still hung up on this. They're still keep asking. They want to know, okay? And so Jesus again says, this is the main thing you need to know. Okay, get this. He changes, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I want us to pray. Father, I pray our ears are open to hear the truth of what you want to speak today. Your word says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. May we hear what the Spirit is saying. May we learn from your word about who you are. In Christ's name, I pray. And everyone said a big, amen. Come on, you may be seated. You may be seated. So I believe the Holy Spirit is probably one of the big topics that is most topic that's misunderstood in the word and maybe in the church. It's misunderstood, misapplied, misrepresented, the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the very last thought that Christ wanted to leave with us. Matter of fact, on desiring the Holy Spirit, seeking the Holy Spirit, understanding the Holy Spirit, it's the last thing that Jesus gave his disciples. And it's still ringing true for us today that at the forefront of our mind should be the Holy Spirit leading us, directing us. But who is the Holy Spirit? What is this Holy Spirit? And I want to break that down today and look at it, because when it comes to the Holy Spirit, oftentimes we know what we know by what we have seen or heard or what has been represented in churches that we have attended or personal experiences with somebody. Let me just say this first. The Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. There's some weird people out there. And I got to be honest with you, sometimes people say they, under the Holy Spirit, they're claiming, you know, putting blame on him for what they did, and the truth of the matter is, they're just weird. In fact, a lot of those people, even if they didn't have the Holy Spirit, even know Jesus, they'd still be just weird. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit might not ask you to do something that makes you uncomfortable or you don't understand. That's not what I'm talking about. But he is not weird. So, who is the Holy Spirit? Let's break this down. First off is this. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, when we begin to think of the Holy Spirit, we think of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Those are descriptive terms. So when we think of God the Father, we understand that descriptive imagery, right? We understand a father. Whether you had a good father, bad father, whatever that case may be, you understand that there's a heavenly Father, God Father. God the Son, we understand that imagery, right? A son. But we also understand in regards to who Jesus is, who is the Son, and these ideas because of pictures that have been portrayed of him. And just even if they're not true or right in regards to the picture, we understand that he was in fleshly form. He looked like one of us. So we kind of understand that. But when it comes to God the Holy Spirit, that kind of throws us. That descriptive imagery kind of throws us a lot. Matter of fact, if you grew up the way I grew up here in King James, and it wasn't just God the Holy Spirit, it was the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Now that really throws you off, because I'm scared of ghosts. You're like, so I'm scared of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand this. This is weird. It doesn't make sense to me. So we have these descriptive images, and it's key to understand that this is just a description. So God the Father, well, he's described hundreds of ways. Let me give you one example. Jehovah Jireh. That's a descriptive term of God the Father. How about the Son, Jesus? Descriptive words of him, Prince of Peace, Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Those are descriptive words of who Jesus is. Now, the Holy Spirit, that's a descriptive word, but here you got to understand, the Holy Spirit is God. And God has a lot of descriptive words of who he is and what he does. Now, I got a very good friend of mine who has been a part of our church for years and now is the pastor at the Guthrie location, Hedy Coleman. Hedy's not his name. Hedy's not in his legal name anywhere. His legal name is Gregory Johans Coleman. I call him Johans. No one else can call him that. That's me. I get that privilege. I asked for that some time ago. He said, I would love that, Pastor. I call him Johans. Gregory Johans Coleman. But when I first heard the name, I heard it as Hedy. And I heard about him long before I met him. And I had images that I had already ascribed to him based on the name that was given to him, Heady. You got it? So actually, in my mindset, this dude's a rough dude. I heard he played football. I heard he's a pretty good, solid dude. And so I thought he's going to be mean. He's going to be tough. He's going to be kind of hard-headed, maybe with a big head. Okay? And I met him, and I asked him, I said, hey, so how did you get the name Heady? And he pointed his head. He said, because I got a big head. Okay, here's a picture of Heady up here. There's Heady. And that is Heady. Now, when I saw his head, because of the proportion of his body, I was like, you don't got a big head. And then we took one of my ball caps and tried to put it on his head, and I was like, yep, you do got a big head. But as I've gotten to know Heady, the ideas that I had of him before doesn't match who he really is. As I've gotten to know who he is, I have found out these are the descriptive words that everybody uses of Heady. He is kind. He is compassionate. He is loving. He is energetic. He is fun. All those things describe who Heady Coleman is. You see, I just didn't know him. The truth of the matter is, a lot of people have images and ideas of the Holy Spirit. The truth of the matter is, you need to get to know him a little bit better. And as you get to know the Holy Spirit, you begin to see another side of the Holy Spirit that you didn't see before. You see, because there are descriptive words of the Holy Spirit throughout the New Testament. Words like helper. Words like comforter. Words like advocate. Friend. Here's another one. Guide. Look at this passage here. John chapter 16, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15, 16, he spends a lot of time talking about the Spirit. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will, say it with me, guide. Now, when I ask you to say it with me, that means say it with me. Let's try it again. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will, say it with me, guide you into all truth. He will not speak his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Wouldn't you love to have someone like that in your life? Who will guide you day to day, who will lead you, who will show you into the future and the things that are to come. Come on. I want that type of person in my life. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a person. A person. It's so crucial to understand that. Secondly is this. The Holy Spirit is a personal gift. The Holy Spirit is a personal gift. Recently, I had a pastor, a church planter, who's about a year and a half in his church plant, give me a call. He wanted some help. Well, we helped him start early on in the church. We gave him some money, and as we've been able to get debt-free and as God has blessed us, we've been able to turn around and be more of a blessing to a number of church planters. Some in Oklahoma, some in Denver, some all over the United States. Guys that I personally know that we've invested in, we're not just giving them money, we're giving our resources, we're giving our energy, we're giving our personal advice and help as a staff, and me personally, I've taken guys in because we want to help them do what we've got to see happen here in the miracles of God, right? And so we've been blessed, so we're going to be a blessing back to someone else. So a year and a half ago, we gave him some money to start. He got going, he's been meeting at a school. And an opportunity came open for a building. I didn't know about it. He was struggling. They were trying to get in by Easter. I knew nothing about it. And I told him when he started, I said, if you ever need anything, give me a call. And if it's within our possibility, we will do it. We will help you out. He never called me. I got a call in desperation a few weeks before Easter. He says, Pastor, is there any way? I said, man, you should have called me. We'll send something now. We'll help you out. And we were able to write a significant check, send it to him. Come on. And they were able to finish the building and get in that building by Easter. And they had standing room only, and they had a whole bunch of people give their heart to Jesus Christ on Easter. Come on. That's what it's about. But here's the thing. If he hadn't have picked up the phone and called me, he wouldn't have gotten that gift. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is a gift that you must ask for? Jesus said it this way. In Luke chapter 11, he says these words. He said that there was a man in his house, and he gives a story. And he's in bed with his kids, and it's late at night. He's asleep, and somebody comes knocking at the door. And it's a friend of his who's at the door who has a friend come to his house, and he needs some extra food. So he comes to his friend's house, and he's asking for extra food. And the story goes, Jesus says this. He said he normally wouldn't get up out of bed, even though it was his friend. But because of his audacity to keep knocking, he got out of bed and gave him what he was asking for. Jesus says this, so you must ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. He who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, the door will be open. And then he says this. Look at verse number 13 of Luke chapter number 11. Jesus says these words. He says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the, say it with me, the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So what do we do to receive the Holy Spirit? Stand on our head for 2 hours? Go in the corner and scream at the top of our lungs? Beg, cry, scream? Travel to some holy place in some remote part of the world? No, no, no. What do? You come to your Heavenly Father and you ask. You ask. You ask. The scripture says Jesus went ahead and said this in that same passage. He said, a father who has his son ask for a fish, will he give him a snake? If that father has a son ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? He says, No, he won't. Because a good father, you understand that. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? Come on. Let me just go back. This gift came at the very beginning of time. There's two descriptive words. Let's go back to the Hebrew and let's go back to the Greek, okay, for the word Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the very beginning. The word in the Hebrew, the Old Testament, is raka, okay? That word literally means breath or wind. It means the breath of God. And at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, you see that the breath of God, the Spirit of God, is hovering over the waters of the deep. The very first things that God did, God speaks, and when God speaks, what happens? Things begin to happen. Things begin to come. What comes out of the mouth of God when he speaks? Breath. Breath. You've got to have breath to create words. And so as he speaks, the breath of God comes out of him and things begin to happen. He makes man out of the dust of the ground. And then he does what? He breathes life and dust becomes a living being. And today we have God consciousness and the breath of God because God breathed into the first man. And so therefore we have the breath of God in us. Go to the New Testament, the word is pneuma. Pneuma. Holy Spirit in the Greek is translated pneuma. So you have, all of us have the breath of God because we're living beings in God consciousness. But when Jesus rose from the dead, stood victorious over death and hell, and they saw him as the Lord, he looked at the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them, pneuma, the Holy Spirit of God, and they received eternal life. Acts chapter number 2, when it says that there was a rushing wind that began to fill the house where 120 were seated, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. That rushing wind is the pneuma, the breath of God that is breathed upon people, and they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given and distributed among God's people is, again, the breath of God that he breathes on us to give you unique gifts. Come on. That's a gift for us. The Holy Spirit. Now, some people look at me. Just look at me just a second. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, would you rather have the Holy Spirit or would you rather just like to see Jesus walk in here and Jesus be with you in flesh like every day this week? Which would you choose? I think most of us would immediately, because my initial gut reaction is, Jesus. Anybody with me on that? Come on, give me Jesus all week. Let him walk around with me. I want to introduce him to my friends, my family, and everybody. Just call on Jesus. But that's not best for you. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, it is not good for you that I stay. Because if I stay here, I cannot go back to the Father. And if I go back to the Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that's going to come and live in you. Because the way we understand, is God the Father? Is God around us? Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, beside us in flesh. But when he went back, he sent us God the Holy Spirit, which is God in us. It is Jesus, the Spirit of God in us. And when you ask Jesus into your heart, you have received the power of the Holy Spirit to change you. Come on. Next is this. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit is powerful. Crucial to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. A year and 4 months ago, I got my first truck ever. When I tell most people that, they think, what? You were raised on a farm. I drove trucks on the farm all the time, but I had to buy my own vehicle. And I went as cheap as I could with the best gas mileage efficiency as possible, which is not a truck, it's a car. And so for the last many years, okay, I've been driving a car, and I'm also a little bit of a cheapskate. Okay, and finally, I broke free and got me a truck. Matter of fact, one of my brothers, because all four of my brothers, they all have trucks. And one of them had openly made the statement that they were concerned about my manhood because I didn't have a truck. I got a truck. I have arrived. I'm a man. So I have a truck now. And I was driving on this field about a week ago, and it was very muddy. And I began to bog down. It began to slow down. And my truck, it then kind of stopped. The wheels started spinning, the back wheels. And I'm like, ah. And then it dawned on me. I got a four-wheel drive truck. I'm a man. And all I had to do was reach down, and I turned a little knob from two-wheel drive to four-wheel drive. And when I turned that little knob to four-wheel drive, it was a whole nother ballgame, folks. Man, I kicked in. Those wheels started moving. I felt power. I set up a little straighter in the truck. I'm like, yeah, look at me go. Nothing's going to stop me. How many Christians live their life? I had all the power I needed right there, but I wasn't utilizing it. How many Christians have the resource, access, power in their life, but they're not utilizing it? The Holy Spirit, He is there for you. What is it? Do you need comfort? You know what you need? You need power. I'm telling you, comfort is not just a... When you are facing issues that are very difficult in life and you need to be comforted, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will wrap His arms around you and comfort you. Do you need strength? Do you need strength to be able to handle the load that's been given you or the struggles that are on you right now? You know what you need? You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need Him from above to come and give you the strength to be able to bear up even when you are carrying such a weight, because He is going to be the one that's going to carry it for you. Peace? You need peace? There's a peace that passes all understanding, and that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you need boldness and courage? You know what you need? You need the power of the Holy Spirit to give you boldness and courage to be able to stand up whatever the devil throws your way. All of us have the power of the Holy Spirit accessible to us. We got to ask. We got to ask. There's a scripture here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit." Another translation says, "Do not quench the Holy Spirit." Another translation says it this way. Isn't it amazing all the translations? It says, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." What's that speaking of? It's speaking of there is power in you. Do not allow things of life, business of life, your neglect, sin. You're not just not taking time to ask the Holy Spirit to keep you stifled from all that God really has for you. There's power available. I was thinking about this in regards to, so I remember years and years ago, Shannon and I just got married. I was a country boy, raised on a farm, didn't know much. We went to a really nice place and was staying at this nice house with somebody, and there was these really nice towels, and they had like letters on them, like letters. I'd never seen that before. Like, this is pretty cool. And I'm like washing my hands and going over to wash these with my hands, dry my hands. And Shannon's like, no, don't touch those. I'm like, what, don't touch those? I'm dry my hands. She said, no, use these other towels. Those are just for show. How many got stuff like that in your house? All right, that's just for show. You don't actually use that. You use these towels. This is just for looks. I'm afraid a lot of people, the Holy Spirit is just for looks. No. The Holy Spirit is for power in your life to be useful. The gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God gives the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed as he so wills. A Holy Spirit's for everyone. Now, the gifts he gives out, but the Bible says that you should ask. And you said diligently seek for the gifts of the Spirit. And so ask him, and he will give you as you he sees fit. And what are those? Gifts of prophecy, gifts of faith, gifts of healing. There's people in this church that operate in those gifts. And I've seen them walk up to people and say, can I pray with you about this? And they're like, oh no, I didn't even know how to, I didn't share it with anybody that. And they will pray for them and miracles happen. Miraculous powers, tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom, discernment. All of those are part of the 9 gifts that God has given us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But also in Romans, it talks about other types of gifts of the Spirit. It talks about leadership. It talks about teaching. It talks about mercy. It talks about hospitality and helps, administration. Some of you are thinking, oh, I don't have much to give. No, if you've got the power of the Holy Spirit and he's given you the gift of administration, maybe the gift of mercy, maybe the gift of hospitality, maybe the gifts of discernment, you know what? You are to use it for the glory of God. Those gifts are to be used for the glory of God. Come on, some of you go to work every day and say, what do I do? No, pastor, he really does the real work. No. I'm here for the building up of the saints. I'm here to build you up and encourage you. But you're to go out and do the works of the ministry. The Bible says that most of the miracles Jesus did were out in the marketplace. And most of the miracles the disciples did were out in the marketplace. What would be your miracle? It may be that you have discernment on a business deal and you can see that right thing happen. And it means a lot of money for the company. And money comes through to pay people. And what does that mean for you? You to tap yourself on your shoulder? No, you say, Jesus gave me the wisdom. God through the Holy Spirit gave me the gift of discernment, and here is the answer. And so far, our company is blessed because I hear from God. Wow. Power. Let me give you the next one. Let me tell you about Sean here. Sean is a guy who goes to our church. Sean was raised with parents that were satanic worshipers. So all the way up through his teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, he got saved a few years back. He's in his late 40s now. Sean doesn't have education. He dropped out of school. Sean doesn't have money. But Sean has the power of the Holy Spirit. Sean shows up every Tuesday morning for our chapel, and then he spends time in intercessor prayer, praying for walking around this church and praying and believing. Sean can strike you as a little bit different. Sean says things to people that catches people off guard. But I have watched him say things to me and heard things to me, and I'm like, dude, how did you know that? Spot on. Keep praying. Some time ago, he told me, he said, Pastor, this is back in the fall. He said, on December 31st, God showed me that we're going to get together, me and you, at 6 a.m. in the morning. That kind of threw me off right there. I'm like, I don't know about that, Sean. 6 a.m. in the morning, meet with you on the day that I'm off work. Okay, on work's one thing, but off work, I'm going to. And actually, Sean, he said, we're going to build a little fire out behind the building. Then we're going to take all these things and we're going to pray over them. We're going to burn them and we're just going to give them to God as start this new year. Burn off all these prayer needs and believe God's going to answer. And we're going to start 2017 right. I looked at him and said, Sean, I'm sorry. My wife and I have already planned a ski trip that we're leaving like on the 29th. And we're going to be gone. We're not going to be here. Sorry, Sean. He said, man, it's weird. God told me you would be here. I said, Sean, God hasn't told me, so I won't be here. My wife told me I'm going to be gone on a ski trip, Sean. So I'm going skiing. But I said, Sean, if anything changes, he said, if anything changes, I mean, I said, yeah, if anything changes, I'll let you know. But no, and it's not going to change. I'm going skiing. Well, a few days before, Shannon announces like, hey, you know what I was thinking? She wanted to be here for a wedding on the night before. And she said, could we stay another day and leave like at 8 o'clock on December the 31st instead of leaving a couple of days before? You know the first thing came to my mind? Sean. Sean came to my mind. Guess where I was on December 31st at 6 a.m.? I was right there with Sean. Sean hears from God. Sean doesn't have the pedigree, he doesn't have the education, but he has the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Don't feel sorry for yourself. You're a child of God. You've got everything you need. You got the power of the Holy Spirit in you. last is this, is the Holy Spirit is given to tell people about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is given to tell people about Jesus. This is where oftentimes we miss it. We get caught up in the gifts. We get caught up in all the other stuff that we miss out on why the Holy Spirit has been given to us in the first place. Jesus said the words, did you notice? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my what? Say it with me. My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. My witnesses. I want you to meet Lance and Nicole. It's a picture of them. Lance and Nicole have been at North Church for years. Amazing people. Love them to death. They're like family to me. Do anything I can for them. I have watched them. They're soul winners. Now, they're busy. I've watched them do multiple jobs, starting businesses, growing businesses. But their business is not just about putting money in their pocket. It's about giving opportunity to share Jesus with others. They're soul winners. In fact, I get a little teary-eyed because last week I saw Nicole at the 8:30 service, and she was sitting beside somebody, and she didn't even look like she had makeup on. She looked like she was like put together yet. And then I saw her back at the 11:30, and then, of course, her daughter's being baptized. And I saw her back, and I'm like, you're there? And why'd you come to the 8:30? And she started telling me that just right before service, around 7-something in the morning, she got this text from a friend that she'd been inviting to come to church, and that friend said, hey, will you be at the 8:30 service today? She had no plans to be at the 8:30 service. No plans at all. But her response was, yes, I'll be there. So she gets herself right up, walks straight out the door just how she is, goes to church to sit with the lady at church that she'd been inviting to come. And she goes back home, gets her kids ready, gets her husband out of bed, gets him ready. Just kidding. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she did. Then she comes back for the 11:30. Why would she do that? Because they're soul winners. They understand that the power of the Holy Spirit has been given inside of them. He to witness of Jesus Christ. I showed the picture of them. I asked for the name. I just said, hey, how many people come to North Church because you've invited them to North Church? Here's some of the names that they wrote down. I said, this is all we could remember right now. And I gave them like 10 minutes. These are the people, the asterisks by their names, you know what those represent? People who have given their heart to Jesus Christ since they've come here. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Lance and Nicole, thank you for letting the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in your life. The one person that stood up is one of those. It's crying. That's the work of the Spirit of God. John 15 says this in 26. Look at it on the screen. It says, when the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, that's another term, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear, say it with me, witness about me. About who? About Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, folks. It's about Christ. It's about our Lord and Savior.